Greetings in the name of Christ again this wonderful Lord's Day morning. Did you know that this is the Lord's Day? That means that he needs to get all the honor and all the glory and all our worship needs to go to him. We are the sheep of his pasture. We are the ones that the shepherd has left so much to come and find us in the garbage dump. That's where he found us. We had lost our value because of sin, and Jesus came to help us, to bring us back again, and that's beautiful. This morning, may God help us and to be what he wants us to be. I would like to pray again. I know we've been on our knees. We have done this again and again here. I think we should never apologize to pray often in the house of prayer. We should be a praying people, and I think we have untapped source resources that we as a church are really not understanding the power that comes through travailing. I preached a message here, I think my last message in our home congregation, travailing in prayer. And I believe we need to learn to be on our knees and pray and cry out to God. He would so much like to help us if his children would only cry unto him. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and do what? And pray and seek his face, then he's going to come and heal us. Stand with me, please. Oh God in heaven, we come one more time to you this morning. We thank you again. We've been in prayer last night, through the night, this morning early. God in heaven, you've been speaking to my heart, and I pray for these saints. I pray, God in heaven, this morning, that you would work and do a work in our hearts. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray. Lord Jesus, we pray that this would be a day where you would be glorified and you would be honored. I pray, Lord, for every saint that is here this morning. I pray that this would be an encouragement, Lord Jesus, this message this morning for the saint. I pray, oh God, that you would help us. Lord, if things are not right in our hearts, that you would help us to seek our God and to find our redemption and to find the one that can change us. We commit ourselves to you, Lord. We ask, oh Heavenly Father, that through Jesus and through the power in the Trinity, that you would bind the powers of darkness, the demons, the devils, spirits that would like to hinder and take our mind away, and spirits that would like to disturb. We commit them into your hands and pray that you would deal with them and you would keep them away from this place, Lord Jesus, and give us this next hour, Lord, for your glory. We just commit ourselves to you. I pray for your anointing. I lay myself upon your altar. And Lord, there I am. I've been there. You know I've been there, and I'm here there again this morning, Lord, and here I am. And I give you this time, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning that is maybe quite different. But last night, late into the night and early this morning, God has just laid this on my heart, and I would like to just I trust God is able to help us all. I know there's many of you are saints. Many of you have loved God. Many of you have known God. And many of you have been through times that have been difficult at times. And I would like to preach a message this morning that I've entitled, The Dark Night of the Soul. The dark night of the soul. Every Christian loves the day but spends time in the night. Spends time in the night. And I don't know if you can relate. Maybe by the time I'm through with this message, you can relate to what I'm saying. Sometimes we go through dark times. We go through times in our life when it's very, very difficult and very, very dark. And sometimes we, through those times, for whatever reason that God allows those times to come, we lose our way through those times. You know, in the night it is darkness. Last night it was dark. Strange noises you hear at night and you don't know where they're coming from. Fear is in the night. We lose our understanding because we can't see. We don't know what is in our path at times. When I speak about the dark night of the soul, sometimes at that moment is when an attack from the spirit of discouragement comes upon us. Few people allow us to know the dark valleys and the clouds that hang over them at times. And I don't know why God wanted me to preach this message, but I believe that there are times, and maybe you are in such a time right now where you have had a difficult journey, the dark night of the soul. In Psalms 137 it says, "By the rivers of Babylon there we sat, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, for there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they lost their song." They had no song anymore. They were now discouraged, and they were in a dark night of the soul, and they were finding great difficulty. They wanted to sing, but they had no song. This was a difficult time. And I don't know your heart this morning, but maybe your harp is hanging on the willow tree. Maybe it's been hanging there for the last week, maybe the last month. I want to show you, it is not uncommon for the saint to go through dark times in his life. But it is in the dark times that we sometimes lose our way. And that's not, I want this message to be an encouragement to you and to help you see what is happening. You're looking at a preacher this morning that has gone through many dark times in his life. And I didn't share with you like I sometimes do. But we've gone through some very, very dark times. Times in our life when we couldn't sleep at night, my wife and I, because our little daughter was crying all night. Times when we buried our two daughters. There were times when there was difficulty. And there were times when it looked so dark ahead of us. And I don't know, you as a congregation, I'm here this morning to encourage your heart. Maybe you have gone through some very dark times in your life. I came here not knowing your congregation, and I still don't know your congregation. But whoever you are that is here, the dark night of the soul is a journey that many of us will face. And if you walk with God, and you have a deep walk with God, you're going to find those times. Because I want to show you why God allows those things to come into our life. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher that led millions, or multitudes I should say, to Christ, through powerful preaching, suffered awful moments of dark nights. He often felt like he accomplished nothing in life. He once lamented, he said, "I've got the blackest heart in Great Britain." It was dark for him at times, and yet he was bringing many people to God. Elijah was up on Mount Carmel, and he left Mount Carmel, and he was just coming down, and Jezebel spoke 29 words, and Elijah went into a dark night of his soul. It was a dark night. It's in those dark times, brothers and sisters, that we lose our way. Don't lose your way through this time. Charles Spurgeon, frequently he'd go into his garden, raise his hands and cry out, "Lord, I've never desired you more, yet my spirit is so low. I'm so low. What's happening?" Sometimes we don't know what's happening. The last couple of years, I've had a number of calls when the people and those on the other line, they would call, and I would just hear sobbing. Had a note from a bishop some time ago. He said, "Please pray for me. I'm going through a major struggle right now. I have just lost a real battle." He said, "I don't know that I have ever been so discouraged." The dark night of the soul. What is happening? They had deeply lost courage. In 2 Samuel 22:29 it says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, And the Lord will lighten my darkness. God is going to come in those times. Unless we become bitter during those times. If we become bitter, and this is where people lose their way many times. We were having a revival meeting in our church. Not our church where I'm at now, but where I have been about 15 years ago. Before we left and went to the outreach, we had just moved or just started going to that church about 30 years ago. And we were having a revival meeting, and there was a bishop there that was having this meeting, and I never met him, didn't know him. And we would get together to pray in the mornings that week. And we would come together, and one morning it was just him and I. Maybe there were some others there, but they left, and we were talking. I've sensed a tremendous power flowing from his life. And I just didn't know how could this man, he was such a humble, quiet type of an individual. And we sat there on the steps inside the church house, and he started opening up his life to me, and he told me this, and I want to share this with you. He said, let me tell you my story. He said, we were having problems in the church. We had trouble. And he said, I got so discouraged. I tried to see what we could do to help us to be more united. But he said, I got blamed, and I was blamed in my ministry, and sometimes people wouldn't like what I preach, and I struggled. And he said, I got to the point where I finally decided, we had meetings, we tried to correct things, and he said, I went to a dark night in my soul, and I finally decided, there is really no way out. The only way I know is to commit suicide. And I was at the point where I decided I'm going to preach one last message. And it was Sunday. And he didn't tell his wife. He had eight or nine children. And he said, I didn't tell them. But I decided that it is too much. I cannot go on. People do not accept me. People don't want me. And my message is lost. And the only way out of this, all he saw was a dark night. It was all dark about him. And he said, I decided I'm going to preach this last message. It was now Sunday. And he preached the message. And that afternoon I was going to kill myself. He preached his message. They came home as a family. And there they sat around the table. And they ate the last meal. In his mind, I knew this was going to be my last meal with my wife, whom he really dearly loved, and his children. He said, we ate the meal, and I couldn't handle it anymore, and I went into the bedroom, and I was so discouraged. I was so down. I lay on the bed, and I just cried and cried. And he said, my wife came looking for me, and she found me there on the bed and just came in and said, honey, what is wrong? And she just lay there beside me and wept with me, because I knew in just a matter of an hour I'm going to be gone. But he wouldn't tell her. And there he was crying, and she was crying. And oh, it was so hard for him to leave his children. And then the phone rang. And she got off, went, got the phone. And she came in and she said, honey, this is for you. And he took the call and said, hello. And there was a brother from the church. And he said, brother, I just want to tell you that I appreciate you. And he said, all of a sudden, that's the only words I've heard. I didn't hear those words for a long time, maybe years. But he said, all of a sudden, in my darkness, I saw a little light. I saw a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. And I thought, maybe there is actually a way out. That's all that brother said. I want you to know. And he hung up. It was time to head for the barn. But somehow he saw a little light that kept him from going to the barn that Sunday afternoon. That man, instead of going down that road in that dark night of his soul and becoming bitter and ongoing bitterness in his life, he decided that maybe there is hope, and he started seeking God again. That was now some years later, and he was telling me this story, and God was moving and using that man and has used him ever since. If he would be standing here preaching this morning, you would sense something flowing from his life. But you know, what we often do is we lose our way through those times. May I say this to you as brethren? My heart has been going out to you this week. I know you've been going through a lot. Don't lose your way. Don't lose your way. It's a dark night of your soul. Some of you are going through deep waters. But don't lose your way. There is hope in Jesus. You can be restored. You can find your way home. You can find your God again. I don't know if I'm making sense to you this morning, but I'm just going to share what God laid on my heart. You know, in this darkness, many saints lose their way and become discouraged. I want to show you a man. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 38. I want to look at a man. While you turn there, I want to read another scripture. This is David. David, look at David. Here was a man of God. Remember, this is a man after God's own heart. He was a man that is after God's own heart. But look at the dark night of his soul. Turn to Psalm 38. But then I want to read another scripture for you while you turn there. In Psalm 69, verse 8, it says, I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth and repentance also my garment, and I became a proverb to them. They that sit in the gate speak against me, and I was the song of the drunkards. Now look at verse chapter 38. I'd like to just show you the man after God's own heart that found himself in a dark night of his life, a dark night of the soul, verse 6. Listen to the heart cry of this man. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Verse 8. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the discouragement of my heart, the disquietness of my heart. Verse 10. My heart panteth. My strength faileth me, as for the light of mine eyes is gone from me. David is saying here, I've lost spiritual understanding. My strength faileth, the light of mine eyes. I can't see like I used to see. It's dark in front of me. My vision and revelation of the Lord have left me. I cannot reach God as I used to reach him. You know, these are difficult times, my friends. And these are times that every one of us that is in here, if you know God and you go deep with God, you're going to find times like this. You're looking at a preacher that has gone through many of those times. Times when I wonder. And sometimes in those times we wonder, God, where are you? But you know, God is right with us. God is right there. But I can't feel him. I can't sense him. I don't know where he's at. And it's during those times that God is trying to tell us some things that I want to show you. Verse 13. But I, as a deaf man, heard not, and I was as a dumb man that opened not his mouth. Thus I was as a man that heareth not, and in whose mouth are no reproofs. This heavy demonic spirit of discouragement, of darkness, laid David so low he was dumbfounded. David is saying, I'm too down and discouraged. I can't pray. I'm too confused to speak. I'm drained. I'm empty. I have nothing to say. That is what David, the man after God's own heart, is saying. Let's look at chapter 40, verse 11. David again speaking, withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faints. Pardon me, my heart faileth me. Chapter 42, verse 3. Listen to this man. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Now he's speaking to his own soul. He's saying, why art thou disquieted or discouraged in me? Hope thou in God. Verse 9. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning? Verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Chapter 43, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou discouraged, disquieted within me? Hope in God. You know, this morning, my friends, I want to speak to you as a congregation. Hope in God. Set your hope in God. You have no hope if you look at yourself. You have no hope if you look at others. But set your hope in God. And as God works in our hearts, in all of our hearts, God has been trying, and I know there's a cloud that has been hanging over you. But let God lift the cloud. Let God lift that cloud. God is our refuge. God is our strength. You know, David had deeply lost courage. Don't lose courage this morning. Rise up. The Church of Jesus Christ will go on. If there are faithful saints that are willing to step up to God and let God be your leader. Let God be the one that leads you. God will help you. God is here for us. God cares deeply about you. God loves you. And so we must rise up. I know it's dark at times. I know what that is. Hudson Taylor, a great servant of God in China. The church was coming together in China in 1900 at the Boxer Revolution happened. The Chinese government killed hundreds and hundreds of missionaries. Hudson Taylor was so emotionally devastated. His health began to fail. And he was the man that for many brought God to that mainland in China. Nearing the end of his journey, he wrote, I am so weak, I cannot work. I cannot even read my Bible anymore. I can't even pray. I can only lie still in God's arms as a child and trust him. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but there are times in the life of a saint, a child of God, that walks close with God, there's times when we are the targets of the enemy. We are the targets where the enemy wants to destroy us. And there's times that God allows that dark cloud to come over us and to lay us so low. But during those times, do what Hudson Taylor did. Just lay still in the arms of God. You know, I remember so well my oldest son. He's now 30 years old. But when he was a little boy, he reacted to a medication. And I remember so well. He was maybe 4 years old. And I wanted to help him. And he was reacting. His legs were getting stiff. And he had cramps and he had pain in his feet. And I remember him looking at me, and he said, "Daddy, it hurts so much." You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to just grab him. I wanted to take his pain. I wanted to just take him and love him. I remember picking him up and just holding him tight. You know, that's what Jesus wants to do with us when we're in a dark night of the soul. Jesus wants to just take us, learn to crawl into his lap, learn to sit with him, let him hold you like he did Hudson Taylor. "I can't pray anymore. I am so down." Maybe you are passing through a time, tired of souls, tired of body, sick of heart, difficult to focus on biblical promises. It's hard to pray. Don't write yourself off, saints. I'm talking to the saints this morning. If you are here and your heart is away from God, and you are holding things in your heart that are wrong, you're going to have a hard life. It's going to be dark, dark, and there's no hope for you unless you come back to God and you come to God. God, our hope is in God. That's where it's at. It's in God. But don't count yourself. Don't write yourself off. You are joining David. David, the man after God's heart. Elijah, the man that came off of Mount Carmel and kept running. 29 words, and there he went. Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you. They can kill me if I don't have you dead by tomorrow this time." And you know what? He took off running. He took off running. Oh, it was a dark night of the soul for him. You know, when you endure such times, just lie still as a child in the arms of our Lord. A comforting father doesn't expect you to say much during that time. I didn't want a lot of words from my little boy, my little son that was hurting so deeply. All I wanted to just hold him. He didn't have to tell me anything. That was not the time that I was waiting to have him tell me how much he loves me. That was just a time that I wanted to hold him. I just wanted to hold him. And that's how our God is. And that's how God loves you here. That's how God thinks about you. God has good thoughts about you. All of you. God loves all of us. He knows that we need his soothing care. His mercy will hold us. "When my foot slipped, thy mercy, O Lord, help me up." That's what David said. Men and women of God learn many things. They learn what it is in those dark nights to be lonely. It's those nights when we wonder, did I do something wrong? Did I sin? Was something wrong? But you know, Moses, it's in those times, and my friends, I want to share with you something very deep in the secret heart of God that you and I must learn to know and understand. Men of God, women of God, that are deep with God. You know, I have a burden that sometimes we're not deep enough with God. We are too shallow. We are too shallow. We go through the motions. We go through the words. We have many words to say right. We come to church. We can say things right. But we don't have that alive, living, breathing relationship with Jesus Christ that is so deep that when we get to these dark nights, we don't know what to do and we lose our way. We lose our way. We need to prepare our hearts long before we hit the dark night of the soul so that we can stand with our God. We can lay in his arms. We don't have to go and quick get rid of our sin and get ready to do other things so that God can hold us. We keep walking deep with God. One of the things that men and women of God will find, there's times when they become very lonely, very lonely. God often spoke to Abraham, but I don't find that he ever spoke to him. Now, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe you can correct me, but when God talked to Abraham, he talked to him alone, alone. David felt lonely. Jacob wrestled at Jabbok alone. He was all alone that night. Jesus went to the mountain alone in Matthew 14. In Mark 6, he was alone on the land. Luke 9, he was alone praying. He was found alone. He went to the mountain in John 6 alone. When he was suffering in Gethsemane, he was all alone. And brothers and sisters, there's something about finding your God alone, just alone, you and God. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking? Does this make any sense to you? Finding God alone. Finding God alone. We can be very lonely in the midst of many people. Some of the most lonely people sit in pews. Lonely. There's 20, 30, 40, 50 people around them, but they're lonely. Somewhere in their heart. The purpose of loneliness. You know, our deepest battles are fought and won alone. Alone with God. Maybe we ought to sing that song. When storms of life come, alone with God. In my early years, when I became born again, God showed me something that helped me in my walk with God. And that was to learn to be alone with God. I would steal away night after night in my young teenage years. I had a special spot. I believe every child of God that is walking with God in a deep way is going to have a spot somewhere. It's my Gethsemane. It's my Calvary. It's my altar. It's where my altar is. It's where I fight my God. It's where I again and again consecrate myself. Alone with God. Just me and God. You know, Jesus died alone in darkness. You know, I think one of the reasons that it was dark, maybe there's a number of reasons, but when Jesus died, it was such a sacred moment that God veiled the curtain so that people cannot see what is going on as the Son of God hung on the cross and died alone. Alone. You know, if our highest spiritual experience happens in church, then we have not learned what it is to walk deep with God. I believe our highest, deepest level in our relationship with God happens alone. You know, God allows loneliness to bring desperation into our life. That's one of the reasons why he allows these dark times, so that we start going to him and we find him. You know, in loneliness, our hearts change. The prodigal son wasn't lonely until he was there in the pig pen. And every one of us needs to get to the pig pen. Unless we get to the pig pen, we won't turn around and go home to our Father. You know, our lifestyle is chasing us to not be alone. We have so many things to do when I'm lonely. You know, one of the things we do when God starts, we're into that dark night. We start into that dark night of the soul, those moments that are difficult for us. You know what we tend to do? We get a CD. We get a song. We listen. We pop the CD in. We go for things. Maybe we pick up our phone and quick call someone. Let me tell you, that is a low road in our dark night of the soul. Maybe we get a book or we listen to a message. We try to get a hold of a brother. We try to get a hold of a sister. And you know, this is one of the things that is happening in our technological world today. It starts as running again. And we start running and we're quick. When things are not the way, when we face some of these dark night of the soul, we quick run to our friends but you know what? We have forgotten something. We have forgotten something. You know, it is so wonderful to have a beautiful brotherhood. Oh, it's wonderful. I appreciate our brotherhood. I appreciate the brothers at home. Some were calling and emailing and wondering, how is it going for you? We're praying. I know there's people at home in our congregation fasting for these meetings. It's wonderful to have brotherhood. But there is one thing more beautiful, and that is Jesus. When you are in the dark night of the soul and you go all alone, oh, you know what? I think sometimes I'm just going to bear my heart to you, dear brethren, ministering brethren here. I think sometimes we have to lead our people to a deeper walk with God. Maybe that's why our people aren't deep enough. It's because maybe that's why my people back home aren't deep enough. It's because their leader is not deep enough. I must know what it is to not just pick up the phone and call my friend when I'm discouraged or when I'm down. I must learn to go to my God. God should be our first hope in God. You know what David did? David didn't have a phone. David had no CDs. He had no music to listen to. You know what David did? He just went to God and he said, oh, my soul, hope in God. That's where it's at. I believe one of the reasons that we go through lonely times like this is because God wants us to learn to come to Him with nothing but ourselves. We're finished. It's over. It's just God. Alone with God. Alone with God. Let me just quickly share some things with you. You know, I can be so discouraged by looking back at my failures that I lose my victory today and my hope for the future. Everyone in this room has sinned and failed. And the preacher that is standing at the pulpit has failed miserably in my life. But God is so gracious, and God is such a forgiver. And you know, if every one of us is going to look at our failures and look at how we fumbled and how we fell and how we failed, we're all the same. We're all the same here this morning. We've all been there. And we could all be discouraged. But discouragement has crippled and disabled many beautiful saints. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to rise up with me. Rise up with me. Can we move on and go build the church of Jesus Christ? And can we take our little children and show them the way home and show them the way to God? Can we enter into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ than we've ever had in our life? That's why these dark times come. It's to stop us and to bring us to our knees. And you know, we can go to this friend and talk to this person, but you know what? There's nothing that will heal like the feet of Jesus will. We need to go to Jesus, and we need to just learn what it is to go deep with God. Why does discouragement cripple the saints? I want to share with you quickly, and I have 1 minute to do it. Here's why. When people lie, we say it's sin, right? When people steal, we say it's sin. When people live in adultery, we say it's sin, and that's rightly so. But when someone is discouraged, what is it? We say it's my situation. It's my situation. But let me tell you something this morning, maybe that you've never known or never thought of. Discouragement is sin. It's never right, it's always wrong, and it's always sin. Discouragement is sin. There is hardly a weapon from Satan more effective than discouragement, and I want to tell you, I'll show you why real quick if you allow me to. If not, we'll close the service. Discouragement removes the spiritual protection from your life. Satan likes to fish in troubled waters. And when you are discouraged, Satan is right there, and he'll start bring bitterness into your life. You can't see ahead. It doesn't look good. Two things wrong about discouragement. Number one, discouragement is sin. And number two, it's a problem of the heart. It's not the situation that causes discouragement. It's the way I look at my situation. It's the way I look at my this situation. Discouragement comes because I think wrong. I think wrong. The way we think is the key to locking it out or leaving it in. I want you to remember this phrase. Never doubt in the night what God has shown you in the light. You know, there's times that we can think right and things are so good, and then we go into this dark time, this dark night of the soul, maybe the dark night of my soul, maybe the dark night of the church. It goes into those times, and it's then that we start second guessing, we start thinking wrong, we start looking at things wrong. Never doubt in the night what God has shown you in the light. Follow the light that you had before you went into that place. You know, the dark kingdom has interest to wear out the saints. Jesus was never discouraged. We never read that Jesus was discouraged. I want to show you just quickly, and I will make it as quick as I can. Five mistakes that discouraged people make. Number one, they believe lies. At the base of every discouragement is a lie from Satan. You'll always find a lie. Always look for a lie when you are discouraged. When there's discouragement, lies are like this. God has left me. He doesn't care. Is that true? But the truth is, in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We believe that God has left me. God doesn't care anymore about me. I'm just a scum. I'm pushed off. I'm down out back. No one wants me. But Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's the truth. See, we believe lies and then we'll get sick. No good will come from this. I wonder how many of you thought about that. The truth is, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. I can't be a Christian. I'm not able to. We talked about that last night. But he is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. Isn't that what the Bible says? That's the truth. Don't believe lies. There's no hope. I can't get out of this. We believe it, but you know what? That's believing a lie. The Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Maybe you as leaders sometimes wonder, you're just young, newly ordained. You wonder, how can I lead? How can we lead this church? I can't lead this church. There's no hope. How can we do this? I can do all things through Christ, but it's him who strengthens me. We can. I don't know of any discouraged person that does not believe at least one lie, and maybe a number of lies. See, to believe lies is to trust Satan. When you believe lies, you're trusting Satan. Number two, we hide our discouragement. We don't want people to find out that we're not real. We don't act real. We have things hidden. We're acting a lie. But you know, discouraged people make that mistake. I'm just going to hide how I really feel. We don't want people to find out. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another, that ye may be what? Healed. That we may be healed. Let people know. If you're going through a dark night, to dark time right now, let people know. But before anything else, take your dark night and go find your God. And spend time weeping and crying at his feet. And ask him for healing. He'll help you through. This will pass again with our God. Number three, we focus on my reputation. Discouraged people make the mistake. Five mistakes. Mistake number three, we focus on my reputation. What will people say about my situation? We try to protect by pointing the finger and blaming someone else. And that's how we get bitter. Jesus made himself of no reputation. No reputation. Number four, we could expand on these, but I won't for the sake of time. We look for external highs when we are discouraged. In discouraging times, people go wrong. They sin. They indulge. They seek relief from this spirit, but they seek it the wrong way. They go at it the wrong way. They indulge. Indulging in pleasures and sin to give that euphoric feeling to come back. Don't go there, my friends. If you are in the dark night of your soul, don't look for indulgences. Don't look for sin. One of the ways to get a high fast is to sin. It's one of the. That's why the world is just going from sin to sin. They go from weekend to weekend. They go from that marijuana to the next one. They go from that drug to the next drug. They go from their bottle to the next bottle. You know, that's just how the world does. And that's what happens. They go from high to high. They're just jumping for highs. When that comes, don't become bitter, because if you become bitter, you'll go down there. Bitterness will always destroy your heart. You are going to be more destroyed than anyone else. We look for that good feeling. Discouragement almost always takes us back into sin. There was a man that, a minister, that fell into adultery. And he came, he confessed it, and I was there when he did. And one of the ministers asked him, how was the church during that time? What was the life of the church during that time when you failed 4 years earlier? He said, our church was going through a very discouraging time. Hear my heart, brothers and sisters, young people. There's been dark times for you. This is a time for you to sin. It's easy for you to go for a high, looking for something that removes that. Don't do it. Don't go there. When you are in the dark time, what God wants to do with the dark night of the soul is to take you deep with God. Go find your God. Don't just call your friends. Go find your God. He'll be with you. Point number five. We tend to congregate. And I have scripture to share some here, but I won't go there. We tend to congregate with fearful people. We need to remove ourselves as much as possible from negative, discouraged people. Discouragement finds discouragement. Negativism finds negativism. In Deuteronomy 20, there's a scripture. They were going out to battle, and the officer shall speak. This is what God said. What man is there that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's hearts faint as well as his heart. See, discouragement makes others discouraged. Remember, it's not my situation. It's not what is happening that causes discouragement. It's how I look at it. I must look at it the way God looks at this. And we can always find redemption in Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is filled with redemption. If there is no way out of something, then we're in the wrong kingdom. In the kingdom of God, there's always a redeeming gate that will lead you to freedom when you follow it. But the devil will always bring accusation, and he will always accuse. And if you follow the devil and you follow the voices from the kingdom of darkness, you'll always find that they're going to just be accusing. But when you come to Jesus, you'll always find a way out, a way to be redeemed, a way to be bought back. That's the kingdom of light. That's the kingdom of God. I have more to share, but I think we'll leave it there. But brothers and sisters, saints of God, those of you that know God, been born again, and you want God, when your dark night of the soul comes, go back. Go back and find God. Set your hope in God. You have a wonderful future ahead. It's beautiful. God is with us. God is with those that have a heart after God. Don't be discouraged, but find your God. Let's walk with God. Let's rise up in this battle that we're in and follow God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, Lord, we come to you. We thank you so much for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for taking us through those dark times and showing us yourself during those times when you have insulated us from other things. And there we are all by ourselves, and we have no one to cry out to but you. I pray, Lord, for every brother, every sister here, that you would help us to not be discouraged. Help us not to go down the road of discouragement through those times, but to use that experience to take us deep with God, to take us into the deep waters with God, where you dwell, where it's so sacred and so precious and so healing and so redeeming. God, I just pray for every person that's here this morning. Give us courage and help us to rise up. And help us, oh God, to follow you and to be true to you. Lord, I pray that you would protect this church from the discouraging spirit that wants to come upon your saints at times. And bless us, oh God, with healing in our soul. And, oh God, forgive all of us. We've all been sinners. We've all failed. We've all been away from God. Take us into your deepness. And Lord, help us to dwell under the shadow of the Almighty so that we can find healing and blessing. Lord Jesus, if there's someone here that's discouraged this morning, I pray that you would just help them to find you in a way that is so deep and healing. Lord, we commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was not going to give an invitation, but I sense God maybe wants